This is former TNA Knockout Awesome Kong, and you're listening to Wild Kong Radio.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
What will happen this year at WrestleMania?
Recently, The Rock has had a dream of his own, and that dream was that he came down in the middle of this ring in front of all of you, and he called out John Cena. The Rock calls out John Cena. His wannabe rap music hits. He saunters down that ramp in his bright rainbow shirts, coming out here looking like a homeless Power Ranger. John Cena gets in the ring, and he says, "You can't see me." And The Rock says, "Oh, yeah? You want to see something in the lies? Well, how about you see this?" The Rock fists his lips and his boots right to his ass.
Who in the hell are you to say I can or can't wear a certain color, talk a certain way, listen to a certain kind of music, chastise the way I live my life, or, God forbid, the age of the people that watch this product that I love? If that's what it takes to be on Team Bring It Rock, you can keep your application. I don't want it. Every single week I walk down this ramp as myself. And there are some people that like it. And as you heard tonight, there are some people who don't. When this is all said and done, oh, I'm going to be judged. But I got news for you, great one. I ain't going to be judged by you.
I've just got one question. What in the world makes you think that you can do what I couldn't?
I am the one. As in 18 and 1. At WrestleMania 27, Dead Man. You and your streak, with all due respect, will rest in peace.
And I know that you're going to kill yourself trying. But in the end, the streak will still be alive, and so will I. And if you don't want to take my word for it, ask him.
Your host.
This is not a door in a logical sense.
Jim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
This is kind of kinky, and I like that.
Kenny Omega.
Lean at the heart!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome everyone to a special edition of WTR on Saturday night, previewing WrestleMania. It is one day away, less than a day away now, actually. So we are jumping the gun and giving you our preview now. This is, of course, the Omega, joined via cell phone by Spug.
For the moment, when I get home, I'll be on Skype.
And, of course, Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to live from the net. It's Saturday night!
You fail.
I tried. What the fuck? Anyway, yeah, so it's the WrestleMania preview show special right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Spud, whereabouts are you anyway, man?
On my way home from dinner.
Oh, you were out for dinner. What'd you have?
We went to Chili's.
Oh, Chili's. Hey. They got good ribs at Chili's, don't they?
Yeah, I had the ribs, so yes, very good.
There you go. Omega, you had dinner?
Yep. T-bone steak.
A T-bone steak? Oh, I had dinner. Do you think that Rock had dinner?
Probably.
Yeah. Rock, did you have dinner? Yeah, you had dinner? Okay, good. So I guess everybody's eating, and it's time to talk about what happened first last Monday night, the go-home show for the pay-per-view. The Undertaker, Triple H, and the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, showing up in the center ring.
Hey, what's up, man? What's up for you? A pack of Marvel 27s in a box, please.
as we listened to Spud ordering a pack of cigarettes at the local Kinko's or 7-Eleven or whatever the hell it is.
Kinko's is a coffee shop, you dolt.
A coffee shop? Really?
I said copy shop.
Oh, a copy shop. Okay.
Kinko's. You know, copy store. You said Kinko's.
Okay.
That must getting a pack of cigarettes, Xerox.
He's getting Xerox smokes. Yeah, well, it must be an American thing, I guess.
They're cheaper that way.
I hate you. So. Wait, who said the Canadian could show up to this? The past 2 years we've done this, the Canadian's not been here for this show. Who said the Canadian got to show up tonight?
Well, the Canadian wasn't busy tonight, so, and since the Canadian owns
you weren't busy the last 2 years. We just told you you couldn't come along.
Oh, piss off. I was busy anyway.
Anyway,
yeah, let's get into it. Undertaker, Triple H, HBK, you already know my sentiments, and Spug, I know you want to dig into me on this one. Yeah. I said, okay, this one, I wish this had been the last segment instead of Roxy and Miz. We'll talk about that afterwards. Let's talk about the build-up, how they did in the ring.
Well, I've heard a lot of people say that because of the promo on Monday night, individuals who weren't interested in this match now are extremely interested. And I would advise that you go back and look at promos beforehand. Look at Undertaker's promo on SmackDown. From the Cleveland show, you look at Triple H's promo on Raw from about a week or so after that. They said the exact same things, only that time they were in the ring together, and that made it a little bit more special. Now, interesting side note, Triple H is not coming out to Motorhead tomorrow night.
Rumor has it.
He's betrayed his first love.
Yeah, rumor has it he's coming up to make hit Metallica. Well, we're going to talk about that later. That's on the notes for a little bit later on, Spug.
Well, no, this ties into what I'm going to say, so just relax.
All right, go ahead then.
They bought the rights to use a Metallica song. Now, everybody's been all abuzz with which one it's going to be, and I've taken my opinion from other smart people and making it my own by copying theirs. And I can see where they would think this and where it would work in, but for whom the bell tolls fits very well into tomorrow night. Somebody's done after tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
One of them is going to be done. That seems to be the annual Mania tradition now, is we retire somebody at Mania.
Well,
it's fun, but it can get played out real quick. And
well,
the thing the about that is
originally the
go ahead, yeah, Omar.
Originally the rumor was that they were going to have Triple H retire after this match, and yeah, it'd be 3 years running that we put somebody away at Mania. That's been completely scrapped at this point.
Right, but we've all seen the reports on how hurt and how beat up Taker is. And we all know he takes a break after Mania. But I'm going to hold steadfast to my personal opinion from watching all the promos and seeing all the cards laid out on the table that tomorrow night, the streak is done, and Undertaker is done. And that's not me talking, you know, because I'm a fan of Triple H. I'm being legit when I say that. I think tomorrow night, you know, we've talked a lot about this streak and about who the appropriate person is to end it. Who's the appropriate person to give that rub to give that bump to. And quite honestly, we've all come up with different individuals. You know, Sheamus, Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase Jr. And we've all said unanimously that John Cena isn't the person to do it. I think it would send the wrong message, and that seems to be the other sentiment. But quite honestly, the guy standing across the ring from Undertaker tomorrow night is the perfect guy to do it. We may not like it.
I don't think
Mark Marks.
No. No, you're wrong on this one. That's the worst person to do it because he can do absolutely nothing with it. He's going to be done within this year too.
It's not. Here's the thing, Omega. It's not the implications of his career will be made over it because Triple H's career is already made. That's not it. When you get an endorsement like that from The Undertaker, you know, they used to call the IC title the workhorse title because you gave it to the workhorse of your company. And
right.
They gave it to guys like Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect, and on and on and on and on and on. You get an endorsement like that by being allowed to end Undertaker's streak and end his career tomorrow night at WrestleMania. You get an endorsement like that. I don't care if you are banging Stephanie McMahon, if you are the heir apparent to the WWE. That is an endorsement that speaks volumes without having any in-ring implications.
I disagree with that again. I mean, it is because it has that kind of value that Triple H won't be the one to do it. Because Triple H himself knows the value of that streak, and whoever breaks that streak is going to be a name that's going to live on forever. Triple H doesn't need it. It's going to be wasted in the next 6 months when he goes into the office full time, and you're basically going to throw away the biggest push of all time for nothing. I mean, you do have candidates who by next WrestleMania, you know, if they pack Undertaker away in dry ice and liquid nitrogen for the next year and just bring him out the next time they need him in a match. By that time you would have people that could step up. Like right now, We got two people that I'd be willing to give it to. At this point, I'd be willing to give it to Morrison, but next year, I'd really be willing to give it to The Miz next year.
You'd be willing to give it to John Morrison, who hasn't done shit.
Next year.
Okay, so what's he going to do in a year? Is he going to hold the WWE title for a year?
Look, I'm saying I'm willing to give it to him. The one I would really give it to right now is The Miz, especially if he's still a heel at that time. Because that's gonna, how WWE has been struggling to make him look like a legitimate champion going into Mania. Here's something that would keep him as a legitimate contender forever. And it wouldn't go to waste because he'd be there a good long time to ride that kind of push.
It's not, okay, trying to explain it to somebody who has never been in a wrestling ring, that kind of honor, because it's like being the one to be asked to go over on a legend, a surefire Hall of Famer, and somebody whose name is synonymous with WrestleMania. Being asked to be the one to go over is not something that is simply a push. It's not something that is simply, oh, his name will remain in the limelight while he's wrestling. No. That type of honor, that type of, I can't really think of the right word, but that type of thing should go to somebody who truly deserves it and understands the implications of being asked to do that. And while
I'm not saying that I don't, but I understand the importance of it. I understand the implications of it. But you're talking about someone who's going into management in 6 months, and I don't mean that to say, oh. I don't mean that to just say, oh, this is going to be wasted if they give it to him. I'm saying that He has to think business first now, and it's better business for someone in the public eye to be the one to end the streak. It's just, it just makes for a better show. It makes for a, it makes for a better long-term investment.
He said it last, he said it Monday night that it wouldn't be a popular decision, right? And part of it is talk, part of it is the promos, and I like how they've thrown a mix of reality into it, and a twinge of reality into it. But the thing with this is that this has to go to somebody who understands. And while Morrison, Sheamus, Miz, Randy Orton are all viable candidates to get a good push off of this, and to make their careers better off of this, I don't think that those individuals yet understand the importance and the honor and the privilege of being put over by a legend.
You're now, talking all about this is a here and now. But yeah, by the time we're talking about this again, it...
keep going. Go ahead, Omega.
By the time we are talking about this again in a year, we'll be talking about The Miz as someone who has headlined WrestleMania, who has had big name experience, and who has started a legacy of his own. I think by the time next WrestleMania rolls around, when Taker is 19-0, it'll be his turn.
When Miz headlines 3, 4, and 5 WrestleManias in a row and has held the WWE Championship, say, 2 or 3 times for long periods of time, and been a top-level competitor heel for that long. Now, Miz is somebody that understands the business. He does. He really does. If you listen to the man talk, he really understands the inner workings of the business. But Miz, this is Miz's first headline at WrestleMania. This is Miz's first year as a top-level heel. Personally, if I were booking it, if Undertaker were to go over on Triple H this year, which is entirely possible, Undertaker and ending the streak. Because I want to see the quality of work and the work rate and the ability to adapt and overcome when the crowd starts catching on to his catchphrases and saying them with him, and the crowd tries to turn him face, to be able to keep him heel and to be able to keep himself heel. I want to see those abilities in Miz before I even think about allowing him to end that streak. Same with John Morrison, the same with Ted DiBiase Jr. and the like.
Now, this entire thing is always, of course, presupposing that they are going to find somebody to go over Undertaker and actually end the streak. I maintain that the streak will be undefeated, and Undertaker will retire unbeaten at WrestleMania. Triple H, that being said, with a really good promo on Monday night, will not be the guy to end the streak, just, partly because it's my opinion that'll never happen, first off. Secondly, I've got to agree with Omega. Well, hang on, let me finish. I have to agree with Omega when he says that Triple H is not the right person if they do decide to kill the streak. Triple H is not the right person. Tony in the chat room brought up a little while ago, the internet wrestling community would be totally up in arms. Yeah, sure, there'd be a lot of black... There would be a lot of backlash in the IWC, but there would also be backlash in the locker room itself. Other wrestlers, oh, yeah, you know, here it is, the boss's son-in-law. Here we go again. Now, there'll be one or two bitter buggers that would wind up thinking that. That being said, Triple H does the job tomorrow night at WrestleMania 27.
See, I don't think he does. I don't, because, again, I maintain that there is nobody, not even John Cena, right now, at this juncture in the WWE. The other perfect person to do it to retired last year and left. and is done. The only other perfect individual to do it is Triple H. And I'm not thinking of it, I'm seriously not looking at it as a fan perspective of Triple H.
Well, I don't think anybody's accusing you of that. No, not at all. But let me ask Spug, let me ask you this, and Omega, I want you to chime in on this one too. Just for the sake of argument, Triple H does do the job tomorrow night. Okay? Does that mean that it is absolutely a valid point based on, in part on your standpoint on this, that Taker does not ever lose at WrestleMania before he retires?
No. No. Because Taker respects the business to a point where one of the main commandments of wrestling, Jim, you know it and I know it, and most everybody knows it. All legends go out on their back.
Legends go out on their back when you leave the territory, leave the territory, when you retire, you do the job.
You do the job. And Undertaker respects the business that he would not break that tent. I don't care if he's 45-0.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw this in your face. I'm gonna throw this in your face right now. There are exceptions to that rule. Most notably, as recently as Trish Stratus, her very last match in WWE, this comeback that she's doing for WrestleMania does not count for beans. I don't care what anybody says. Trish Stratus coming back for WrestleMania 27 is like The Rock coming back for WrestleMania 27. You want to know any more about that, just ask Mace. Okay? This doesn't count. She won the title, or had the title, she held the title, she retired the women's champion. She did not go out on her back. Although I'm sure Omega will get a kick out of that one.
Alright, here's the thing.
Wipe your chin.
Trish Stratus is different. Alright, it's different. At that point in time, okay, what matters more to WWE as a corporate industry in a business sense? Women's wrestling or your heavyweights?
Well, women's wrestling's eye candy. We all know that. But how is Trish Stratus different? She's a wrestler. And it's been a time-honored tradition. Every other woman wrestler we've seen who's retired or left has gone out on their back.
Because they don't respect the women's division. Or they respect Trish Stratus enough. Dude, Mick Foley didn't go out on his back.
Okay.
Mick Foley's last run in WWE, he didn't go out on his back. Yes, there are exceptions to the rule, Tim. There are 100% exceptions to the rule. But in this case, with this individual, known as Mark Calloway, the Undertaker, with this person, he respects the business too much, and it has given him so much that I don't think he would slap the business in the face like that. Not
Omega.
At all.
Omega?
I'm sorry, I've completely lost my mind here at the moment.
I told you to quit thinking about Trish Stratus on her back and keep up with us.
You put the mental image in my head, it just doesn't go away.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Shit happens. Deal with it. Move on.
Yeah, repeat the question. Let me get my thoughts straight here.
Here we go. Okay, Trish Stratus didn't go out on her back. Even our own venerable Spug pointed out Mick Foley did go out on his back. And he caught himself, but not in time. He said something about there was a respect for Mick Foley. Well, how come there wouldn't be that kind of a respect for Undertaker?
That's not what I said.
Well, for Mick Foley.
Well, all right, Trish Stratus, a respect. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't recall Mick Foley ever officially retiring. He's semi-retired. He went down to the announcing booth and he went to TNA, and he's, you know, where he still wrestled a few matches.
Well, he technically retired from in-ring activity in WWE before he went to the announcer table.
Right? All right. I don't see. here's the difference. You have two different generations going there. We've said it a lot. Undertaker is the last of a generation. And that is the kind, that is the generation that does go out on its back. Undertaker himself is too big in the, is in the industry and is too much of, he is too much of an old school wrestler himself to break that kind of tradition, or, you know, to be one of those exceptions that, okay, no, I'm gonna win. You know, I'm gonna win and I'm just gonna walk out. Yeah. He's not the kind that would do that.
No, he's
again,
not.
He knows about
it. He's not the kind, like you said, he's not the kind that would do that. But who's to say that Vince or the, you know, the booking staff, the committee, you know, who's to say they don't come up and say, you know what? This has been such a big deal and we've done this for so long. Why not let him retire undefeated at WrestleMania? And sure, because it's Undertaker, he'll do the job, but he'll do it at like SummerSlam or Hell in a Cell or something like that.
Because of what we've already said, Undertaker is synonymous with WrestleMania. If it's going to happen, it has to happen there because at this point, that is his show. We were talking about the guy who main events the show without holding on to a world title at the time. Yeah. Only he is that big. And keep in mind, we're making a bigger deal about this than we are the championship matches.
Well,
that's how big of a deal this is for Undertaker's streak to be on the line at Mania. It's more valuable than the belts at this point because it's gone on this long.
This is an absolutely valid point, and we're gonna be talking about all the matches coming up a little ways down the road. But let's take a look at Shawn Michaels' involvement in the in-ring promo. Do you guys see the possibility of Shawn Michaels being involved in this match in any way, shape, or form now?
Yes.
Omega?
Not after the promo on Monday.
After he walked out and you see him mouth the words, I'm sorry, you can't win?
Once again, this is an entire feud that has been built upon silence. What has said the most in this entire angle, from the first promo where no words were spoken to that moment where Triple H asks Shawn, tell him why I'm going to win, and Shawn has no answer.
Yeah.
That spoke volumes more than any run-ins, any sneak attacks, and any other feuds leading up to Mania.
Now, will Michaels' potential involvement tomorrow night possibly cost one or the other the match? Or would that be just way too cheap?
It wouldn't be cheap. The thing that I really think is going to end up happening is that Shawn Michaels is going to come out. He's going to super kick them both.
Okay.
He's going to super kick them both. And at that point, Triple H will end up capitalizing in the end. And even if he loses tomorrow night, I'm not going to be that upset about it. Like, I'm not going to be, you know, in tears. I'm not going to be, you know, like the Miz girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be terribly upset and overworked about it, because I really think that tomorrow night's match has the possibility to steal the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that we're talking about a main event match that is a show stealer with all the hype surrounding it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to bring up a bastardized quotation from your favorite retired Canadian, Spug.
That's fine.
Yeah, leading up until last Monday night, the Hitman, Bret Hart, has mentioned that the build-up to this match between the two of them, the build-up itself has been rather blasé. Now, I'm paraphrasing.
He's correct.
He called it boring.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it boring, but a little blasé. He is correct on. I mean
there have been some real high points in this build-up to this match. When Triple H still stole Taker's thunder when Taker first came back, that was really powerful. Probably the most powerful. Now, just to make sure that we don't get anybody shitting on Bright here, he did say that he did expect these two to deliver a very, very good match, but he also said, thank God Sean was there Monday to inject some extra life into it.
No, and he's right. I'm not going to shit on Brett when he's right.
Yeah.
I there's no point to it. He's right.
Well, I'm disqualifying it because there have been morons out there who have basically, you know, shot on him for saying it. So
no, he's right. The thing with Monday night that made it bad without Sean was that there isn't a whole lot of there isn't as much emotion to the promos and the stare downs as there needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I give them props for not touching, for not having a physical confrontation.
Yeah.
For not going into the, oh, I hate you, let's fight.
Yeah. Oh, I respect you, but it's your time.
Yeah, it's more of a, hey, I love the hell out of you, man. And it was the same thing that Hunter did in 04. To Ric Flair.
Well, I was just about to say it was very similar to what Michaels did with Flair.
Well, not that. Do you remember 04, the Survivor Series, the Falls Count Anywhere match, the last man, I think it was Last Man Standing, that Triple H won. But the whole build up started out as a respect thing.
Yep.
Of you've lost the step. It's time. And Flair started to fight back and whatnot. And my favorite line from that whole thing was at one point, Triple H, I think it was the Raw before Survivor Series, Triple H said, this Sunday at Survivor Series, Flair, I'm going to take you out back like old Yeller and put you down.
Yeah.
There's too much respect in this angle between the two and not enough vitriol. And that's kind of what made it boring.
Yeah. And, just talking about that, Triple H Flair match. That was the best match we got out of Flair in like 10 years easily.
It was. It was a really good
match. Up until his Mania fight with Michaels. Omega, you're 2 cents worth.
Here, I'm sorry, guys. There's things going on here. This is usually a bad night for me.
I'm sorry.
No. I keep getting distracted on my end. I'm sorry.
Tell him, hey, we're doing a show. Damn it, we're talking about Mania.
are you sure he's not surfing the internet looking for Trish Stratus pictures?
He's not.
Surf, Photoshop.
I don't need to look for any more.
you got a tetrabyte full or a terabyte of a hard drive full of them, huh? That's a hell of a lot of pictures to fill a terabyte.
A terabyte, dude? We're talking like
terabyte. Good lord.
He's closer to 3.
That's what, 1,000 gigs.
Well, when you've got them all, like 10,000 pixels.
Well, yeah, I should have known you'd have them blown up as much as you could.
Anyway,
Omega, what did you think about, Sean's involvement on Monday night?
I think I already said it. I mean, what he did at the end of the promo.
Yeah. I was just like, I just wanted to ask, like, how it elevated the entire thing.
Yeah, well, no, it did elevate it to quite a bit. I mean, it's a side of Sean you don't normally see, because not only he quite frankly, between what Taker was saying, he looked broken. You know, which going to the Hall of Fame, I don't think maybe that's the wrong light to paint him in.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it made the angle work, because here was a guy who tried twice. Here's a guy who is one of the few people around that's on par with these other two guys in the ring. Mm-hmm. And it just, to have him come in there, and he had a problem with Triple H, not Undertaker.
Yeah. What makes you think you can do what I wasn't able to?
Right. Yeah, because if you expect him to get into this, you expect him to be, you expect him to be backing his buddy, and you expect him to be like his coach. You know, this is what I messed up. This is what I missed. This is what I needed to do.
Yeah.
No, he gets into Triple H's face first, which I liked. It kind of worked.
That's part of it, though, is that I think the whole having him back Triple H would have been the expected thing. And we've seen over the years with Triple H, with Undertaker, with Shawn Michaels, and a select few others, that they are given a little bit more of a latitude and leniency than others would be to do their angle. Now, we've heard and it has been confirmed at points that the two individuals who are doing this entire angle are Triple H and Undertaker. They're doing all the promos. They've done all the work for this. Mm-hmm. Nobody wrote the angle for them. Nobody, wrote the promos for them. They've done it all on their own. And so to be given that degree of latitude by Vince, and ultimately by Vince, I wouldn't expect them to do the expected and have Triple H side with Taker, or have Shawn Michaels side with Triple H.
Yeah. Well, that would be like the obvious thing to do. But the slight hint of potential animosity, I think, really adds to the flavor. How powerful was this segment, really? Let's move to the insider viewpoint just a tiny little bit, guys. This is textbook, if you ask me, on how to do your final promo before the big event. Absolute textbook. Very, very powerful, very potent. For just a moment, pretend Rock, Cena, Miz didn't happen and wasn't on the card. Would this not be the perfect ending to last Monday Night's Raw?
I don't know.
You're not sure?
No.
What do you think, Omega?
I don't know. It's there's two ways to view it. It does set up that Taker Triple H match extraordinarily well. It really does get you pumped up for that match. But at the same time, I do see that there is a value in ending it with Miz, Rock, and Cena, because that is the main event. That is their money makers. And when you have something like Cena giving the attitude adjustment to The Rock, if I was the younger demographic that Cena shoots for, if I'm the one that's, if I'm WWE's target audience, I am now jumping out of my chair wondering what the hell is going to happen
at WrestleMania when there's a real match going on, not just people talking at each other.
Yeah, well, the point that I was making is ignore Roxy and the Miz for a moment. That's the big thing on the card was Taker Triple H. The segment with those two and HBK, would that not be one of the most powerful ways to end that episode of Raw?
Well, yeah, ignoring the Cena Miz match,
yeah.
It'd be a very powerful way to end the show.
Yeah. Now, there's a little bit of disagreement and discrepancy between me and Spug, so that we'd get to this, we might as well get it out of the way. When was it? Monday night after Raw went off the air, we're chatting, and I said that was the segment that should have ended Raw. And, okay, that's a personal thing. It was more powerful to me than to see the, crowd pop pleasing that Roxanne and Miz gave you. And go ahead, Spud, give it to me.
Well, I said it Monday night, and I'm not backing down from it, that your opinion in this case is wrong because of the fact that we can't pretend that Miz and Cena and The Rock aren't on the card and aren't going to be involved. They are. They're your company's heavyweight title match. They're not the ancillary heavyweight title. They are the heavyweight title of your company that individuals like Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and Andre the Giant and yada, yada, yada have held.
Ad infinitum, yeah.
Yes. So you cannot... put that in the middle of your show because one, they are your main eventers.
Yeah.
And thinking of it from an indie wrestler standpoint, Rock is your name, right?
Yeah.
Rock is your name that you've brought in to sell the show. If you pay a name that much money, you don't stick them in the mid card. And so having that promo in the middle of Raw would be like sticking your name in the mid card, otherwise burying the name that you brought in to promote the show. Now, do I get the idea of putting Undertaker and Triple H last? I do. I understand it, but it's a bad decision and a bad business move.
Well, potentially. But on that note, we're going to take our first time out of the evening. Everybody, you're listening to the WrestleTalk Radio WrestleMania preview Saturday night special right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to talk about. We'll be back right after this.
It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pay. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
When the biggest night in sports entertainment comes to an end, WrestleTalk Radio will be there to catch you up on all the unthinkable.
Wait a minute! No! Let's go! Triple H has turned his back on X-Pac!
All the unimaginable.
Wait a minute, what's Brett doing? Good God! Come on, Brett! Enough's enough! It's gonna get sickening over this thing. Oh, Brett, don't do it!
And all the unforgivable moments. Join WrestleTalk Radio after the final bell on Sunday night for a full rundown of WrestleMania only on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com.
Hey, you, go, Wild Talk, Wild Talk, you want Wild Talk, this is George the Animal Steel, hey, you go. Bye-bye.
Dig it!
Welcome back to the WrestleMania preview right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Spot!
That was actually pretty good, Tim.
That was good? You liked that?
That was actually pretty good. I wouldn't suggest doing more. It's just that little segment was good.
That one little segment, yeah. That just reminded me of something that happened.
Take what you can get. How often does Spud compliment you?
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Omega. That just reminds me of a little thing that happened in late 2003 when I was the voice of wrestling with what's his name, the kid who lives in a trailer park. Anyway, we got a hold of Macho Man Randy Savage's phone number to give him a call and see if we could set up an interview with him, which we eventually did. Had a chance to actually talk to the Macho Man himself and kind of blew his doors off because we had his buddy Bad News Allen in the studio and surprised him with Bad News Allen on the segment as well. But I called, there was no answer, got his voicemail. I heard him talking, and he actually sounds like that in real life. It was like, you know, can't get to the phone right now, we'll leave a message, we'll get back to you. You know, that's almost exactly how it sounded. So I called what's-his-name up, and I did that voice. And he's like, whoa, it's Randy Savage. You know, I had him convinced it was Macho Man. That lasted for about 45 seconds.
Yeah, see, like I said, just that, ooh, yeah, dig it. You could stop right there because that's how much I had nailed.
Ooh, yeah, dig it.
I didn't say do it again.
Aw, come on. I thought it was fun. Anyway. Yeah, so eventually one of these centuries, Macho Man Randy Savage and Vince McMahon will bury the hatchet enough that Macho Man might actually be inducted. Of course, he might have to promise not to try to sleep with Stephanie McMahon again.
Allegedly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, allegedly. He might have to promise not to allegedly sleep with her.
Then say promise I allegedly won't sleep with your daughter.
Whatever.
We won't begin to talk to Macho Man again, will we?
After that, if he hears it, probably not. No. No, eventually one of these days we'll play the quote that I got from the interview from, Randy Savage that, it's a cute quote. Anyway, it was, him calling out Hulk Hogan. So, but why don't we take a look? We started talking about it. We touched on it. Rock and Cena and The Miz in the ring squaring off, setting up their, you know, head-to-head-to-head confrontation for WrestleMania tomorrow night, tomorrow night. Last Monday night, it all went down. Omega, I know you saw it. What did you think of it?
Underwhelming, I think would be the right word.
Now, why was it...
For as much hype as it had?
Okay, why was it underwhelming? What did it, you know, what was it lacking for you?
That's the hard part. I mean, it's one of those things where I think they had hyped it and built it so much that they probably could not have matched it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, me personally, I wanted the War of Words to be Miz and The Rock just because they're better on the mic to, you know, and I wanted to see what they would do together.
Yeah.
Didn't get a lot of that.
Oh.
Cena was his usual preachy Cena, but the problem, I think a lot of it had to do with just the energy from the crowd. It's just like they got every wrong reaction than they were expecting. It almost reminded me of, when Muhammad Hassan would come out there and talk about, you know, he loves America, but, you're hypocritical about this, you're prejudiced against this, and he's speaking honest truths, but the crowd are sheep and they will fight you if they disagree with their good, you know, with what they like. And they like The Rock better than they like Cena.
Yeah. Well, I know for a fact that
despite him being right, Rock's supposed to be like half a bad guy in this scenario, but he's not.
Yeah, he's not being, it's like he's not being allowed to come across as, you know, the a-hole he's supposed to be. Pretty much.
It's right? Maybe not just that. I think it's more or less that, it's not that he's just trying to come up across as an a-hole, but he's trying to come across as he's coming back, you know, and he never left you, he still loves you, but, Cena was dead on with everything he said, but The Rock wasn't fessing up to any of it, and The Rock is too likable to play that way. We tried it when he came back from Hollywood. People still loved him. You couldn't get the crowd to boo him, no matter how much of a jackass he was.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, well, Spug, what do you think?
About the impact of the promo on Monday night between the three?
Yeah. Like just the whole thing, yeah.
I think the problem with the whole thing was they tried to do too much at once.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were going to have a Rock-Cena showdown, then either take Cena out of the title picture, because that's another business move that weakens your company, because you've made it as if your heavyweight champion doesn't matter. No matter how over he is, the whole angle, and I don't want to say that they buried The Miz, because I really don't think they did. He got his points across, and he got himself over more. I think what happened was is that the fan base itself sort of buried The Miz. I don't think that the company tried to at all. I think that the fan base themselves did, because The Rock showed back up, and The Rock, you know, the fan base is clamoring to see Cena versus Rock, and so you've essentially, as the fan base, have made it so that you're the champion of that company. Doesn't matter. And seeing that, WWE should have been smart enough to pull Cena out of the title picture and interject somebody else in.
Mm-hmm. No, I can see that point. Definitely. Absolutely. I was not overwhelmed at all by this meeting of the three. I think The Miz was the best of that entire segment, Omega.
Well, yeah, once again, like, I think Spug has a good point here. That I think that's one reason why I wanted the showdown to be more about The Rock and Miz, because it has been so much Rock and Cena that that's all you can think about when you think of this championship match. Yeah. You know, The Rock, you know, maybe outside of maybe an appearance before they come out, isn't going to have anything to do with the match itself. You have completely made the WWE champion secondary. No matter how many times he comes and runs out and sneak attacks, you know, John Cena, or how many times he addresses The Rock, unless he's getting direct attention, you know, then he just becomes a null factor. Like, the feud with The Rock should have been a background thing. You know, it should have been something like, okay, I'm going to prove what I am to The Rock by taking on The Miz and getting this championship. Not, yeah. Oh, Miz, oh, he's got the belt. Anyway, Rock, you were saying.
Yeah. Well, what did you guys think of Cena basically blindsiding The Rock to end the segment with the attitude adjustment?
Confusing.
Yeah, what kind of a message is that sending to his fan base, which are the kids watching WWE, Spug?
What kind of message it's sending?
Yeah, like what? You know, you sneak attack the guy. He's it's coming across as face on, you know, face versus face, right up until Cena attitude adjusts The Rock.
We've seen faces have a moment of retribution out of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could more or less you could more or less attribute it to that.
Okay.
As opposed to a sneak attack or, you know, Cena turning heel. No, it wasn't any of that. You got to think, this whole time, the two have been running their mouths at each other, both sides, without a single physical confrontation. And so, I think that was... The face getting a little bit of retribution out of, you know, out of the moment. And also, I didn't see the tweet later, something to the effect of, now Rock has another reason to not like me. I mean, it's just adding to the storyline, to the feud.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The feud, let's face it, guys, the feud is supposed to be Cena and Miz. I really don't think that The Rock has any place interjecting himself the way he did, and I don't think that there is any just cause for both Rock and Cena to carry on this feud leading up to the title match with The Miz, who, as we've all talked about and said, is coming across as one major afterthought. I mean, Rock, have you got that clip?
As the host, obviously, you're going to be involved with John Cena, hopefully getting him back.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck him up.
And with that, I hope so.
It's a lot of class I just brought to this.
Now,
yo, guys, what's up? It's Amy.
All right, hey, it's Jersey Girl. Before we get back to that clip, Jersey Girl, you're down in Hotlanta, ain't ya?
Yep.
And what's going on?
I just got out of the Hall of Fame. The Click made a reunion, baby.
Oh yeah. So how's everything going on down there right now for tonight?
Pretty good. We're just trying to get out. One of my friends is in the bathroom, and I got to read Wild Parks.
Oh, you hooked up with Rob, did you?
Yeah, Rob looks damn good in a suit too, man.
Okay, we'll take your word for that one. So you checked out the Click reunion. What exactly? Anything of note happened tonight? Today at all?
We met Lita.
Oh, Omega, you're jealous now, aren't you?
Not saying anything, and not saying anything.
Who inducted Shawn Michaels?
Triple H.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, that was a surprise. Actually, it was funny because Triple H got more laughs than Drew Carey.
Well, that's not hard to do. I've seen Drew Carey stand up.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. We're like, oh my gosh, Triple H got more laughs than Drew. It was pretty funny.
Okay. Awesome stuff. So so you're having a good time, you're getting ready for tomorrow night, and the excitement's building, is it?
Yep. Can't wait.
Awesome stuff. Awesome. So you're gonna be calling in a little bit later on tonight for CB Radio, to talk with Brock?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to.
Okay, cool. So what's on the agenda for the rest of the night?
Going back to a hotel. And pretty much listening to you guys.
Well, that's awesome.
That's my plan.
That's my plan anyway. All right.
My roommate's going to sleep, so.
Oh, well, you're going to have to wake your roommate up. I'm not going to make any assumptions that it's a guy or a gal, but make sure that you wake up your roommate in time for CB Radio.
Well, she's not going to be happy with me, so I'm going to let her sleep. I can't wait to go out for you guys to talk to her.
Yeah, well, to hell with her not being happy. You're going to be calling in to CB Radio later, so make sure that she's on the damn air, too.
They want you on the air, too, Christy. Well, we'll try. We'll see, because we're waking up at 5:45 to come back to Access, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you very much for calling in. We're going to let you go now and wait to hear from you for during CB Radio.
Okay, I'll see you guys later.
Thanks, Amy. All right, everybody. Jersey Girl from Hotlanta. Don't forget CB Radio later on, coming up in just about an hour-ish from now. And, Rob Parks live from Atlanta will be on the show as well. So, stick with us throughout the evening. That being said, let's get into this. That clip, guys, you heard it, The Rock, and that was Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, saying, and I quote, "I'm going to fuck him up," referring to Cena. Omega?
Where did that clip come from?
Oh, he's doing...
Out of curiosity.
Yeah, he's doing, the media rounds and basically proving he's not from the PG era.
No. That's not how a Disney employee acts, Rock.
Well, he's not a Disney employee anymore.
I think he's... I don't know. It just sounds like hype building to me. I wouldn't think anything of it.
Well, we all know that if Mace was here, he'd be saying that that's just Dwayne Johnson playing a character called The Rock. That's not The Rock. Can we go with that one?
He just say he was a liar.
Yeah, he would.
All I hear are lies.
There you go. So what do you think, Spug?
I don't necessarily know. Because the one thing that I take away from that promo, or that audio clip is that there's something coming down the pike for Cena and Rock. There's gonna be a match. And I said it Tuesday, and I've said it for a while. Miz is walking out of Mania with a title.
Yeah, well, I won't disagree with you on that.
I'm one of a handful of people who think that Miz is walking out of the Mania with a title.
Yeah, well, I can't see it going any other way than that, one way or the other.
No,
so.
Because The Rock is going to cost Cena the title.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. That's what I really feel is going to happen. And it's transparent a mile away to anyone who has any moniker of sense about wrestling.
Yeah.
That is what's going to happen. You know, but the interesting thing is not that we know that is probably the most likely outcome, but how? How does it happen? When does it happen in that match? And yeah, I can guarantee you that this pay-per-view's main event, unlike the last pay-per-view we watched from another company, is going to go longer than a minute and 8 seconds.
18 seconds.
Sorry. Sorry, yeah. I shorted them those all-important 10 seconds.
Well, hey, you know, you're talking about that main event. That 10 seconds was very important to them. So, but, Omega, Cena delivering that attitude adjustment kind of sort of really makes an obvious setup for The Rock costing Cena the title, don't you think?
Makes an obvious one, but then again, here's the difference between, we just talked about a feud where everything is being set up by the wrestlers and they are doing the not so obvious things, but here comes WWE's booking and you can see the writing on the wall a mile away.
Yeah.
It does kind of paint the picture of, Miz does have a chance of leaving Mania with the title now. Mm-hmm. Which I really hope he does. Yep. I would love it if he does. But there is still that Cena Superman factor that I can't quite rule out of my head.
Okay, but my point is the Cena Superman factor is being canceled out by The Rock acting as Kryptonite.
Here's the thing, Omega, and Tim, I'm going to butt you out for just a second because I want to have a conversation with Omega. You can't ignore the Superman factor because we've seen it all too many times. But with Cena and this whole thing, he's always to a point been pro-actionary as opposed to reactionary. And this whole angle with The Miz and The Rock being involved has all been reactionary. 100%. And honestly, I can't see how you can still think that there is some element of the Superman factor that they are going to take the title off of Miz and completely kill him.
See, I'm not sure if that comes.
I was going to say, agree or disagree. You take the title off of Cena. Or you take the title off of Miz, put it on Cena. Does that not kill Miz?
I genuinely don't think it does. I mean, it definitely hurts him. But then again, it's his first Mania. It's against Superman. You know what else? You know, for most people out there, it wouldn't come as much of a surprise. Whereas we are reading into a few things, and we're trying to come up with an alternate. We're trying to come up with our own concept of how this should go. And I would agree, Miz would make a better winner here. It'd make for a better storyline down the future. And it would cement him in that championship picture. But they've been trying so hard to do that for the last month, it just makes me think that they are building him up literally just to tear him down and let Cena go over at Mania again. I will say this. After that reaction Cena got last night, I would not be surprised if that plan changed in the least.
Because
that's the first time since One Night Stand I've heard an entire arena anti-Cena.
Well, here's the other part. Of all the places that they've put the Miz out, okay, the Conan and, you know, all of these interviews and getting his face out in the limelight and making him another face of that company. To set him up like that just to put Cena over at Mania, isn't that bad business? I mean, you wasted all of that money for that?
Oh, that just reminds me.
They're trying to sell pay-per-view buys for Mania is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make Miz look that good so he looks good enough to take on Cena. So he looks like a credible opponent for Cena. They're not thinking, oh, well, you know, this next paper, you know, the pay-per-view we've got coming up in, you know, May is going to need something. No, they're thinking of selling the biggest show of the year.
Okay,
business plan after that.
You're telling me a company that sold television time on the biggest cable provider at the time for roughly around $6 million and financed everything that they had to put on the first WrestleMania doesn't have the foresight to see a bad business decision about putting all that money into Miz to simply sell pay-per-view buys just to put Cena over?
No, because we have seen for the last 10 years that WWE lacks foresight. It lacks long-term thinking. Because how many superstars have we said, they deserve to be pushed up. They deserve to be main event. They deserve to have more than what they've gotten. And WWE has stuck with their same six or seven top guys forever. They only push somebody up when somebody retires, when someone gets too injured, when they are completely lacking. And that's when you get cases like Sheamus winning the title within his first year because they were out of other people to do it with. That's how you get guys like Barrett getting championship shots within the first year, because they were out of guys to give that kind of push to.
Okay.
Because they have completely depleted themselves of new stars. We know that they have zero foresight.
Oh, I disagree, sir. Okay. The 1980s, who were your top stars? Hogan.
I'm not talking.
Hold on. I have a point here. Just follow me along.
Okay.
The 1980s. Right. Who were your top stars? Hogan, Savage, Warrior, Hart, Andre. Your five main guys. Okay. The 1990s. Michaels, Triple H, The Rock, Austin. I'm missing one.
Bret Hart, '90s.
Hart.
And
again.
Taker.
And Taker, six. The 2000s, John Cena, Triple H, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, Eddie Guerrero, six. At the top echelon, there are always six to seven guys, anywhere between five and seven total, as your top stars. There's a level just below them where you collect your guys that are your, you know, they can main event, but they're not there yet to that top star status. WWE. And this is where I disagree that they don't have foresight. They have a collection of individuals who are bubbling up to that main event, top star, top tier, elite status. They're not there yet, but they're getting there. And WWE has always been the type of company that the cream always rises to the top. They always have guys that float along the bottom and are good to curtain jerk and mid card and whatnot. And then you have that group that rises to the top and cements itself as the upper echelon. To say that they don't have the foresight because guys like Barrett got a title shot and Sheamus got title shots and held the title, I think to me personally is incorrect, because they're trying to see who's going to reach that next level, who's going to get to that top tier elite status.
Well, here's the thing with that just really, really quickly before you get your point in there, Omega. Here's the whole thing about top spots. There are only so many to go around. Go ahead, Omega.
Here's your problem with that statement. The 80s does not matter. The 90s does not matter. Even the 2000s does not matter anymore. Because look what you've done. You're comparing eras that had fewer shows, fewer pay-per-views, and no brand splits, splitting those top guys in half. You've got a roster that is relying on three, maybe four guys that are at the top at any one time. And
fewer
when you talk
shows.
About the 2000s, when you talk about the 2000s, when you talk about the 2000s, and you say, okay, what, you know, your top guys that you named are either retired on their way out or Cena and Orton. You don't have anyone left over from the 2000s. You've got the Miz bumping up and.
Yes. I'm agreeing with you as you're talking. Yes.
You've got the Miz bumping up, but it's a complaint we've had for years when we talk about the younger talent in the WWE. They've had guys that were ready to be elevated, were ready to be there, and they've either let them go or let them squander away in the mid-card. You know, they had a chance once upon a time to give Kofi Kingston an honest chance when he was feuding with Orton, and he was looking pretty damn good and completely squandered it at this point. You know, he's off with, you know, just losing his championship over on SmackDown.
Okay, here's what I will say to this. One, they do fewer shows now than they did in the early 2000s, 90s, and 80s. They didn't do fewer shows back then. They were on the road 300 out of 365 days.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about what's on TV. I'm talking about what's on storyline, getting characters over.
But that's the thing you're missing, is that the house shows were where they got the storylines over.
And that's not how the business model works anymore.
No,
You're dealing with an internet age and a TV age.
Again, you have to get the 80s are what started the TV revolution. I mean, you had companies like the Crockett's doing it back in the 70s and early 80s, down with Turner in the South. But Vince revolutionized that in the 80s. With Saturday Night Main Event and Saturday Morning Superstars and all of that into the 90s, okay? But the house shows were where you got your storylines over, because if you didn't go to the house show, you didn't know what was going on. And so you had a much better chance to build stars back then. It's the problem with today's day and age, with the internet, the television, the webcasts, it's an oversaturation. And some individuals are not able to build up properly because it does take time to adjust and learn. The other thing I will say is that with guys like Kofi or Bryan Danielson, individuals that we see and say, they could be main eventers. They can be the face of your company. Yeah, they could be, but we're not dealing with those individuals every day in the back. We're not dealing with those individuals in the ring, in production meetings, and we all know it's well documented. Vince likes to teach through lessons. He did it with Triple H, with the whole thing at Madison Square Garden when X-Pac and Hall and Nash left the company. Told Triple H, you're going to have to eat shit for a while and learn to like the taste of it. And buried him in the mid-card. Some of it's a test for individuals to see if they're going to rise above it and eat their crow and learn and move themselves back up. Some sink, some swim.
Well, I'm well aware of this. We saw that with MVP, where he was booked on a 6-month losing streak just to see if he could take it. And, you know, afterwards, they pushed him as a face more than they did ever.
Right.
But they didn't let him go any higher than the mid-card. He gets unhappy. He's gone now.
See? I mean, It would be easier to say that, oh, they have no foresight if the company was run like WCW, in which the entire time that company was popular, they elevated one guy. But it is hard to argue with a business model that has been successful for 30 plus years and a corporation that has been successful for 30 plus years and the way that they've been doing things, because you see the starts of new main event talent and top tier guys.
Rebuttal, anybody?
I don't know. Me and him seem to be of completely different minds tonight.
You might have to agree to disagree on this one, Omega.
Yeah, I'm not continuing this. We're both brick walls here.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what? Everybody has an opinion, and everybody's entitled to have their own opinion. Tell you what, why don't we take our second time out of the evening, come back, and take a look at the lineup for tomorrow night's WrestleMania 27 right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Eddie might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Supreme retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking.
fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know, I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now, goddammit. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for
this. They're not open. What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Because I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Somebody give me a goddamn...
Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette since you're fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... About to defiled by fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
What up, mate?
Oh, yeah! Ooh, yeah! This is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh, yeah! Dig it!
Welcome back. WTR presents the WrestleMania preview show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is time to take a look at WrestleMania itself and the lineup. Why don't we take a look at how you would plan out the card, what should be the main event, what you figure will be the main event, and basically how you'd plan out the show, Omega.
That's kind of tricky here, actually. See if I'm gonna build up anything. I would assume the first match on your card is gonna be the United States title.
I was figuring the same thing.
Yeah. That or Rey Mysterio, but I would expect a good crowd building match with the Sheamus versus Bryan.
Yeah, I think that those two might be able to pull a good one off. What do you think, Spug?
I think you could probably start the show on a high note, with Punk Orton, to be quite honest with you. Because that match is going to be brutal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a physically draining match. You could take that match. You could make it first, and then you go with something like your United States title to bring the crowd down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, with the United States championship match, I expect that to be somewhat off the hook. Let's face it, guys. Sheamus has an extra year under his belt. He's a little more seasoned and probably understands ring psychology just the tiniest little bit better than he did last year.
I think after last year, he kind of proved himself that he is able to step up to that kind of quality.
Yeah, and we don't have to say anything about Bryan Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan, do we really? Especially when we're talking ring psychology.
No, I fully trust him.
Yeah, so I could see these two pulling off one hell of an opening match. However, yeah, CM Punk versus Orton. CM Punk, I would say yes to Orton. I'm not so sure about Omega.
What, you mean as the starter match?
As the opening match. Like I said, CM Punk, I would have no problems with him being in the curtain jerker. But as far as getting the crowd hot, yeah, like this is going to be a knockdown drag out fight. This is not going to be an off the hook thing.
Right, yeah. You want to say this somewhere deeper in the card. And I would probably put this somewhere around the top of the first hour. Mm-hmm. Before the SmackDown world title.
Yeah, so like the top of the second hour.
No, because I expect the SmackDown title right in the middle.
Okay, so would you make this the SmackDown title semi-main event then?
with a Raw match, sure.
Well, why not, right? You never know, it's possible. But let's jump to the main event. Do we have any dissension on what the closing match is going to be?
I personally think it's going to be the title.
You think it's going to be the title?
I still think it's going to be the title.
Omega?
That is hard. I know the rumor has been that they were going to go with Trips and Taker at the... But supposedly that got changed around. That's difficult.
Yeah.
I would probably put it on. I would probably say Cena and Miz. Just on the fact that even though there's such better hype on the Undertaker Triple H match. It's not the biggest, for the casual fan that's going to be buying into Mania, it's not the big money maker.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that's stopping me from saying it's going to be Triple H Taker is the fact that Triple H is taking on Taker in a non-title match. Now, this may not make sense on the surface to some people, but as I explain it, it might come more clear. It's a, what is it, no holds barred? This match or
yeah
right it's so basically it's going to wind up being a almost like a street fight type match where they're going to be outside of the ring for at least a quarter of the match that could lead up to the ramp. They could wind up fighting each other into the back past the gorilla position and then back out again to finally get in back, finish it off in the ring. I see it that they made it this type of a match because it's going to be completely 100% different than the last 2 years we've seen an Undertaker match, versus Shawn Michaels. It's not going to be, the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. It's going to be two immovable objects facing off against each other. I see this as basically as a ground war as opposed to somebody bringing out the aerial artillery. If you understand what I'm talking about, Spug.
I guess.
It's going to be slower paced with these two guys, is what I'm saying, really. Omega?
Yeah, most likely. We've seen this before, where if a match is put on no holds barred, it's actually a safer match to work than than a real straight-up match. It's the reason why Vince always was in no holds barred matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit more interesting. It's a little different, and it's going to be easier. Yeah. You can make it look brutal, but at the same time, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, botching a spot or, going at full speed for the choreography required for an actual match.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. You can be pretty guaranteed that Taker and Triple H aren't going to botch anything, especially in this kind of ground war that they're going to have. I mean, they're both way too seasoned to make some kind of a rookie mistake. Even if they both have been out for the better part
not,
of
it's not so much as a rookie mistake, but you've got Triple H who's gonna who has been out a while, and you've got Undertaker who is now permanently injured.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but I'm thinking, okay, when they announced the match, I'm thinking, okay, this has got to be the main event. Then I started thinking about it, and no, it's going to be too slow. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad match. It's going to be a very good wrestling matchup between these two guys. I'm just thinking it's going to be too slow to be your main event, Spug.
I'm sorry. I'm having a conversation with my uncle who is in Iraq over Facebook.
Oh, well, he's stationed in Iraq? He's serving
there? Yeah, he's over in Iraq right now, yeah.
Well, tell him I say hello and that I salute him for the work he's doing. As you know me, I support the Allied troops, so.
He should be home soon, we're hoping. But, he was just sending me a message to wish me a happy birthday and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's your birthday today, isn't it?
It is indeed for another 25 minutes.
Well, it's a good thing that, we remembered that 25 minutes before midnight. So, happy birthday to the Spud guy.
I'm amazed at all the people who are involved with this network who actually found my Facebook and posted on my wall, including one Jeff Jackson.
Some guy named Jeff Jackson posted a happy birthday to you?
Yes.
Are you shocked?
A little bit.
Call yourself pleasantly surprised then. So yeah, getting back to the card tomorrow night, I gotta say it's gonna be Cena Rock Miz just because The Rock is involved. Omega,
you shouldn't be, but yeah.
Well, I have to agree with you. He shouldn't be. Spug.
He shouldn't have to be, although. If they're gonna make him involved, I think that you either go all in, or you don't. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
Either he's your guest host or he's your special referee. You know what I mean?
Yep. But, you know, it's The Rock, so are you going to just make him just the guest host, or are you not going to have him involved in some way?
Well, that's what I said. You either go all in or you don't. And the moment this all started with Cena, they should have made him the guest referee.
Or something, yeah, definitely. But, I don't know. We're just going to have to see how it plays out tomorrow night. That being said, why don't we take a look at the card itself and offer up our predictions? We've got about 23 minutes left to go to get this done, guys. What do you figure? Can we do it?
You have plenty of wiggle room. It's Ish. Remember Ish.
Oh, yeah. It's Ish. That's right.
Ish.
No. We're at a hard 23 minutes because I got a birthday present today that I really want to watch.
Oh, it's a movie.
I got the DVD, The True Story of WrestleMania.
Oh, damn, you lucky bastard.
And I'm really looking forward to watching it. So, at midnight, whether or not you're done, I am. Because okay. I want to go watch it.
Okay, shut up and let's get to it then. Okay, so here it is, guys. We're starting off with the United States Championship. We got Sheamus, the current champion, squaring off against Daniel Bryan, Omega.
I am looking for Bryan to regain the title here. Seeing as how Dunn's still down on Sheamus, and we need to start the show off on a high note.
Okay, there you go. Spug.
I think Sheamus is going to retain, which makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because I think inevitably within the next coming weeks, Bryan Danielson's going to get future endeavored.
I so doubt that. He just came out with a new shirt.
That's a scary thing to think about. But, I'm saying Sheamus is going to retain. It's just too soon to flip the title back over. Sheamus has gone through a losing streak as, you know, King of the Ring winner, King Sheamus. He's gone back to the Celtic Warrior and his win streak has, resumed. I don't see them giving him a loss in this one. So I call for Sheamus to retain. So we got two Sheamus and one Daniel Bryan. Now, the one, feel-good match, I guess you could call it, that everybody's wanting to see, even though it does involve a certain tool. Yeah, we're talking Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole with special guest referee Stone Cold Steve Austin. Spug.
I'm in. I'm all in on this one. I'm all in on this one.
Okay.
Jerry Lawler.
There you go. All right. Any reasons or explanations for your pick?
Because it's just like last year with the Hart family beat down on McMahon.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not the analogy I would draw, but okay. Omega.
I think we all win in this match.
Are we going to see the forced retirement of Michael Cole, maybe?
If Lawler gives him a good boot to the throat, sure.
That'd be sweet.
It's going to be the King.
Yeah. Oops, sorry, Cole.
Sorry, that was your trachea. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, let's face it. Jerry Lawler's going over on this one. We're going to see Swagger interfere, but we're going to see Stone Cold deliver the stunner. I wouldn't be surprised to see Cole actually having the upper hand at one point in time during this match because of wacky shenanigans by Swagger, only to see Stone Cold stun Cole, so Jerry gets the victory. However, yeah, it's Jerry's first, last, and only WrestleMania match. Lawler wins. Next on the card, Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. Omega?
It's a little harder, actually.
This one's a little bit tougher. What are they going to do? Let Ray go over like he normally does, or are they going to push Cody a little bit more?
I'd rather give the push to Cody.
Yeah. Okay.
It's because we're not sure how much longer the rubber bands and Mysterio's knees are going to hold up.
Yeah, well, I've heard rumors and rumblings. He wants to retire, so your pick is Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Who, Mysterio wants to retire?
Yeah.
I think, personally, for me, one, this is a good match that could open the Mania card for one.
Two,
Rhodes is going to go over and eventually lead to a mask versus mask match.
Yeah, the only difference is Cody's isn't like opaque, even though I think it should be.
Out in that old Undertaker mask with a half skull.
I think personally for me, what might sell that more is if Cody at some point takes the mask off during the match and gets 619'd again and has to put a real mask on. You know what I mean? Like has to go to an opaque style mask. Like his face is crushed and he's horrible and, you know.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of fun. That would be an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, that'd be kind of funny. I gotta give it to Cody Rhodes. I mean, Cody's young and up and coming, and you can tell that they're grooming him to be a long term heel with the company. Ray's time is almost done. He's there to put other people over now, as far as I'm concerned. Cody Rhodes comes out victorious in this match. You guys ready for the World Heavyweight Championship title match? Edge versus Alberto Del Rio. Spug.
Del Rio.
You just like that Mexican, don't you?
I do. I'm buying in. I really am.
We gotta translate, get the Spanish word for wetback just to piss people off. El dos agua, you know, agua, agua dos or something. I don't know. Omega, pick your winner, dude.
Edge.
Okay, why Edge?
Because Del Rio has only been employed for less than a year, and if you put a world title on him at Mania, you'd be the biggest bunch of idiots you've ever had.
Really? You're gonna really say that? Really?
Shut up, Miz.
Really?
This is coming, alright. I would agree if it weren't coming from the individual who says the WWE has no foresight to build future stars.
They don't! This guy's proven nothing. You're the one who's all about, they who? Gotta work their way up, they gotta prove themselves. This guy's done shit. He had one feud with Mysterio, he had one feud with Mysterio, and they pushed him into the world title picture immediately.
Who are his relatives?
I don't care. I don't care.
Dos Caras and Mil Moroskis, legends in Mexican wrestling. And if
I don't
they're
care
trying,
if the Greek, I don't care if the Greek gods built him from a clay doll and brought him to life. He's not worth the title yet.
You've seen him live. You've seen him live, and you've got your opinion of him, Spug, and that's great and fantastic. But still, fact of the matter is, your big push is TV, and on TV, Del Rio still comes across as a boring motherfucker. Bottom line,
he may come across as that, but here's the thing: this company is trying to gain a foothold, a legitimate, strong foothold in Mexico.
Well,
that's why they brought in Mystico. That's why they brought in Mystico. And this individual, who is the nephew of Mil Moroskis and the son of Dos Caras, legends in Mexican wrestling. Legends. That is why he's getting the push he's getting.
Okay. What has he done in the WWE?
It's not because of what he's done. It's because of who he is.
Okay, so because he came out of one woman's womb and not another, he automatically gets a free pass, while guys who have been busting their ass for years get shipped off to OVW to retrain themselves or go into the mid-card to never be seen again.
Well, wait a minute, Omega. How long have you been watching professional wrestling?
Exactly.
Spoken like a true insider, and I didn't mean any insult to you on that one. But let me ask you, Omega, with Spug's points, what he's been saying here, wouldn't it be better to have Del Rio chase the title than hold the title, in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if you do it purely by character, giving him the guy who owns and buys everything, giving him something that he can't obtain, makes for a better story.
So couldn't you turn him into the Mexican million-dollar man, which is what you pretty much basically have done 99% already? You can't buy the freaking title, never mind win it, on your own?
Yeah, I would much rather see the million-peso man out of Del Rio. He just isn't right for the world title now. And I'll say it again. I know it's the WWE, and if you are, you know, if you are born into, or if you marry someone born into the family, you are automatically the top dog. However, he's not.
Yeah, but
it doesn't apply to him. I don't care what legend he is lineage of.
Okay, well, keep lineage in consideration when you talk about Carlos and Primo Colón.
Carlos and Primo Colón, who, you know, Primo's future endeavor. Carlos is unemployed. Look at Cody Rhodes. Talk about lineage there. He's going to be in the first hour of this pay-per-view.
Yeah. You know, and go back a little bit further to Cody's older brother, Dustin.
Oh, yeah. Lineage got him a whole lot there.
Like, he was the top of the mid-card.
Top of the mid-card, but only the mid-card. He's not going after the world title on Mania.
Yeah, no, he was only ever, he only ever reached the top of the mid-card. And his lineage is every bit as solid as Del Rio. I mean, is he a bigger hero here than they are?
Yeah, okay. You're talking about the WWE. They're trying to build an audience in Mexico, but their main audience is still in the U.S. And yeah. Most in the U.S. never heard of where Del Rio's come from. And it doesn't help that they don't talk about it on the air.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I got to say that Del Rio is better chasing the title. And yeah. As a result, I'm picking Edge with you, Omega. So, next match on the card. Oh, this is going to be a really, really tough one because it's going to be a case of half of it's going to be a bathroom break and half of it might be good. We're talking John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki versus Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool with Vicky. What do you figure, Roman?
There is so much, there is so much awesome and awful in this match going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, you know, it's Morrison that I love to watch in the ring, and it's Stratus that I love to watch, period. But I have to see one of those Jersey Shore fuck watches.
Don't touch that. Don't say a fucking word about it. You just said Trish Stratus and period. It says, anyway. My tongue is now bleeding because I bit it so hard.
What'd you say?
Nothing, never mind.
Trish Stratus and what?
I'm not going to elaborate. Those who weren't paying close attention aren't going to get it, and I'm not going to repeat what Omega...
Go ahead,
I'm not repeating Omega's words, man. Omega, if you want to, go ahead. I'm not going to... It just has to do with him watching Trish Stratus. That's all I'm going to say. So pick a winner, Omega.
Morrison, Stratus, and Snooki. The celebrity seems to always win.
All right. Spug, pick a winner.
The heel or the baby faces?
The baby faces, which would be Morrison, Stratus, and Snooki. And I got to say, yeah, they're not going to have Snooki do a job. I mean, like, come on, please. I can see Snooki set up to get the pinfall over Vicky.
Pretty much.
Oh, so,
Vicky's not in the match, though. It's Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool.
Well, yeah, but Vicky's going to be there, right? So I can see somehow Vicky wind up being in the match itself. Excuse me.
Okay, yeah, let's put Vicky and Snooki in the ring at the same time. That will make my ears bleed. Thank you very much.
Well, there's your bathroom break. As soon as those two are in the ring, the water table is going to drop right down. Right across North America. Except for Jersey. You know.
Tim, you said something. Could you repeat that?
What?
You said something like Vicky Guerrero was saying?
What, you mean excuse me?
Excuse me!
Yeah, I knew you were setting up.
What was that? Sounds like somebody's trying to...
Excuse me!
Yeah, you are an asshole. You are an asshole. You asshole. You asshole. And that's, yeah, I'm pronouncing it that way on purpose. Anyway, okay, so the baby faces win. Now we come to Randy Orton versus CM Punk, and I'm sorry guys, this one is really hard to call, Spug.
Really?
Really?
I would disagree.
Well, go ahead and disagree, but pick a winner.
Randy Orton.
Really?
Although the smart money to continue the feud, because this could be... I mean, we've had Rock Austin, Triple H Rock, you know, some of the more epic feuds, correct? Mm-hmm. This could be up there with it.
This could be one of those epic...
Yes, because you go back to the days before Cowboy Bob Orton got involved, when it was just Randy.
Yeah.
Spitting in the face of Mick Foley. And the dude has this twitch to him, and I can't place it, but he just has this air about him that it's on par with Jake the Snake Roberts, is the way you can see the wheels turning, right?
Well, I could liken this match to the match that Stone Cold passed out instead of tapping out to.
Right.
In its potential brutality.
Well, I'm not necessarily speaking of brutality, but more of the praise of Randy Orton. When you watch Jake the Snake wrestle, you could see the wheels turning on how to get the crowd to react the way he wanted them to.
Mm-hmm. Well, Randy is really good at doing that.
And with Randy Orton, you can see the same thing.
Yep.
And it's really, really cool to see. Because CM Punk, while he's not particularly on that level, he's really good at psychology. And so two guys who are that good at psychology working together, it'll be fantastic.
No, this is going to be a good match. I say brutal. Now, I don't mean when I'm talking brutality, I'm talking about the empirical sense, right? I'm not talking about, you know, bloodletting and we're hang each other, although, you know, that might wind up happening, hanging each other from the top rope. But empirical classic brutality.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Yeah. So you pick Orton Omega. Talk about this match and give us your pick.
Punk.
You think Punk?
I'm thinking Punk. Orton has pretty much completely dominated over the new Nexus so far. Mm-hmm. Storyline wise, it just seems like they could continue this into something bigger, or that it just makes more sense to me that Punk does finally get to one up Orton a little bit, because, you know, compared to what Orton has done, Punk has done relatively little. I mean, okay, he's threatened Orton's fourth wife, for starters.
His fake wife, yeah. Who, by the way, is a terrible actress.
God.
She's bad.
God, she was terrible.
Somebody help! Help! Where's the cue card? Help me! Holy shit. I'm sorry, but when that went down, I just couldn't help but start laughing.
I know.
Oh, it hurts so bad.
So bad.
But you're talking about Punk hasn't done much. No, I think he's done a hell of a lot, but it's been very subtle. And
I don't think he's knocked out four of Orton's lackeys week after week, though.
No, but what he's done is subtle. It culminated in him Nancy Kerriganing Orton's leg with the pipe wrench. How do I know you're going to have a chuckle on that one? But anyway, seriously, stop and think what I'm talking about.
Why?
Right?
Why? Why? Why?
I'm wishing now that wasn't spontaneous, that I had thought that up earlier today and gotten rocked to get that clip.
Why? Why? The moment you said Nancy Kerrigan, all I could think of was her sitting there on her ass on the arena floor in that pretty white dress, screaming why?
Why? Yeah. That would have been frightening.
Oh, my God.
But no, seriously, Randy is now handicapped. He has a disadvantage, and Punk is very subtle with his brutality. He's vicious, just like Orton, but he's less obvious about it, is what my point is, Omega.
Oh, I'm not saying I would pretty much agree with that. I'm just saying I don't think it trumps what Orton has done so far in this feud.
No, but then again, like I said, Orton's a lot more obvious about it.
He's more obvious about it, but again,
yeah,
it's just more impactful. I mean, you're looking at a 5-on-1 situation now, a 1-on-1 situation.
Yep.
It just seems like Orton has pretty much been top of the feud for a while now. I mean, CM Punk gets a little measure of revenge.
Yeah.
But not a whole lot. Certainly not enough in my view to offset the fact that he's come up on the losing end for a long time in this feud.
Yeah, well, he's had the upper hand the last two weeks in a row, leading into Mania now. And I just see him, winning by hook or by crook. Call it nefariously. The ref's not looking and he, savages Orton's knee at ringside when they're out, you know, outside the ring between the ring and the announce table. And, he grabs something, maybe the same pipe wrench from underneath the ring. And I am hoping for the sake of this feud that CM Punk does go over, because I do not want this to be the blow off.
Right.
These two have worked well enough and have been solid enough. I want to see more from them after tomorrow night's book.
I do too.
So, like I said, it's a toss up. I'm going to say CM Punk just because I want to see the feud continue. And if Orton wins, it's a blow-off. Just because of what you said, Omega, he's had the upper hand most of the program.
Yeah, think of how long it took for Cena to get rid of Nexus, and Orton's done it week after week pretty effectively. If this ends it here, it pretty much diminishes everything that, you know, they've built up with that group in general.
Exactly. So we've got 2-1 here, CM Punk over Randy Orton. And now we come to the eight-man tag team, Big Show, Kane, Santino Marrero, and Vladimir Kozlov versus Ezekiel Jackson, Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, and Wade Barrett. But wait! There's a change to the match. Kozlov is apparently out. We could see Kofi Kingston take his place, Omega.
I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with it. It's such a random change, though.
Yeah, kind of random.
Well, you had such a good thing going, like, Big Show and Kane, okay, they kind of reunite their tag team a little bit, and then Santino and Kozlov get thrown in. I don't see why, like, I understand, you know, wanting Kofi on the card, and it's an embarrassment that we have this many matches where multiple superstars have to get crammed in like this just to get everyone in there.
Yep. Well, okay, just as an aside, how many of you people jazzed when you saw Kane play the Morella trumpet?
That made me laugh.
That was hilarious.
After seeing what we've seen, obviously not having any real resolution to the brother versus brother feud, you know, quote unquote, between him and Taker, all of a sudden to have him turn back into and also ran with the humor. It was funny. It was. Did you pick a winner yet, Omega? No, you didn't.
Honestly, I'm picking the core.
You're picking? Oh, okay. Interesting. Spud! Oh, no, got more to it?
Just won the IC title. They're on top of their game right now. You diminish the group before their time if you let them lose to the mongrel group.
Okay. Spug.
I think Santino and the like are going to win.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes! Really! Shut up! Move on! It's midnight!
Okay, there you go. Yeah, no, I gotta agree with Omega. Corey's going over on this one. The other multi-person tag match, we picked the faces. You know, you can't have the same group win both times. I don't think so. You shouldn't. All right, here it is, the match that we spent most of the first hour talking about: Undertaker versus Triple H in the no holds barred match. Spug.
Triple H.
Omega.
Taker.
And I'm going to say Undertaker, and can we all agree that Shawn Michaels will be involved one way or the other? He'll run out, superkick both of them, and then fuck off again?
I don't know if that's going to... I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I don't see two guys like Triple H and Taker, I don't see them wanting a match spoiled or something like that.
Yeah. What do you think, Spug?
I think Shawn Michaels is going to super kick them both.
Okay, I don't think Michaels is going to super kick them. I think he will come out maybe halfway through the match. Or he comes out at the beginning of the match and sits at the announce table, but I still say he appears at the match. Now, I'll be extremely happy if he winds up being the impartial special guest referee for this match. but they've already got one special guest referee. I don't know if they would do two, although it is Mania and a four-hour pay-per-view. They could probably get away with it. But I would like to see him being the guest ref. Omega?
I know that was the original plan. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I don't think the match needs it, honestly.
Okay, Spug?
I don't think it needs it either.
All right. So, we've got one for Triple H and two for keeping the streak alive. And then it's the WWE Championship match. It's The Miz versus John Cena. Omega.
Oh, God. I literally don't know which way this is going to go. I'm going to pick The Miz, if only because I want him to win.
Okay.
I'm going against my WWE logic, which is to throw out logic and pick who sells more shits.
Okay, there you go. Spug.
The Miz.
Okay. Well, Cena's not going to leave WrestleMania tomorrow night champion, boys and girls, and one of the reasons for that is because we are going to get at least one more match out of The Rock. You are not going to have Cena as a champion squaring off against The Rock. That won't happen because The Rock's not going to be staying past SummerSlam. I don't care what he has been saying. He's not going to be there after SummerSlam. And because you're going to have these two involved in some kind of feud leading up to SummerSlam, you're not going to do it with the champion, with the potential of the champion losing the belt. So The Miz retains. That's my prediction. And Spug, I got good news. We're done.
We're done! Hooray! I'm going to go watch my DVD.
Okay, there you go. Everybody, thank you for those of you who have tuned in to catch the WrestleMania preview right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Wrestle Talk Radio special. Don't forget, almost any time, CB Radio and more phone calls from Atlanta right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Have yourselves a great night, everybody. We'll catch you tomorrow right here immediately following WrestleMania 27.